Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is in accordance with verse 2, where Paul says that we are to bear with one another in love. The beginning of verse 2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I was explaining in the previous message that the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit is only going to be real when the people genuinely believe the truth that God has revealed. That instead, you should expect there to be a struggle. You should expect there to be some difficulties. Now, sometimes when people try to fulfill this admonition, people try to make this happen, try to make this real. Let's get some unity. Let's get some peace in the church, and let's get some bonds with one another. The only way that people will be able to try and accomplish this is by trying to hold people together with the fewest amount of truths possible. This is what it will take in order to unify great numbers of people. In order to have some sense of unity in the Spirit, you have to reduce the amount of truth as much as you can. This is why a lot of churches are described as watered down, or the preaching that is presented doesn't have a lot of depth to it, and yet there are great numbers of people. Well, that's why there are great numbers of people, because the more you reduce the intensity of what it is that you teach, the more people you'll be able to attract, because more people will be able to kind of fit in. And as long as you have a good band, like I explained in the previous message, you can provide them with great entertainment and you have lots of things for their kids to do, then you can build a large assembly, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people can be assembled together easily when you're not presenting a whole lot of truth and you present a lot of things that appeal to people's flesh. And the way that they can, you know, effectively get away with this is because they are still within the boundaries of the difference between a non-Christian and a Christian. They're still kind of within the boundaries. You know, they're close enough. Everybody there believes that Jesus is the Christ. Everybody there believes that there is a God. You know, basic things like that. As long as they are close enough to the limits, you know, close enough to the boundaries of the difference between an unbeliever and a believer, then the closer they are to those boundaries, the more people will be able to join in with them because there are fewer truths presented that would separate them. The more truth that comes in, the more people will be separated because there is a struggle that people have of embracing the truth. When a person first becomes a Christian, they embrace the gospel, the good news, however they can understand it. They will embrace a definition of the gospel that's their first introduction to the truth of God. They believe that, and then they get started in a life of letting go of things that are not true and embracing things that are true. But this does not happen all at once. People let go of a few things. They embrace a few more things. It takes time. It takes transitions of growth and maturity where they embrace a little bit of truth. They see how they might be able to incorporate that in their lives, What will be the consequences? What will be the side effects? This is something that takes place over a period of time in people's lives. So it's difficult to integrate a lot of people when you have a lot of people going through these changes, going through these transitions, and you never know what direction they're gonna go in necessarily. They might go into a direction that is not consistent with the truth that God has revealed, and it will take them a while to discover the dysfunction and the source of it in their lives, and so that they will revisit these things and make corrections and turn back towards the truth of God. It takes a while for this to happen. So the more that a person gets closer and closer to the reality of God, the fewer people within their Christian life, within their assemblies, within their church, within their social circles, the fewer people that they will be able to maintain a relationship with as they had before. Their relationship with others will change as they embrace the truth, but the other person does not. Just as you were separated from the unbelievers when you believe the gospel, you will find yourself being separated in some ways from believers when you embrace other truths that they do not. And this is why the closer and closer a person gets to God, the more alone that they tend to be. And in general, people assume that, you know, the closer I get to God, the closer other Christians will get to me. But no, it will turn out that the closer you get to Him, the further away they will be, because they are still not growing closer to Him as you are. And this can be a little uncomfortable. You know, people can feel threatened by this. They can feel the sense of loneliness and the sense of isolation, that they're losing friends, that they're losing family, that they're losing their church, because they are embracing things, they see things about their God, and they get to know Him in a way that is true and real, but the others just don't see that, and so the others will, in some ways, reject you because you don't believe the kinds of things that they are still hanging on to that are not true. But, you know, they're still Christians. They're still within reasonable boundaries to be called members of the body of Christ. It's just that the ability to relate to one another is going to be reduced. And if you're not aware of this yet, you kind of need to be prepared that the closer you get to God, in some ways, the further away you are going to be from other Christians, not all, but from others. And you will find yourself becoming more and more alone in a sense, which is why it is so important to relentlessly remind yourself that your objective is to have a relationship with God, not with every Christian around you. Your objective is to have a relationship with God. You are to enjoy whatever relationship you can have with the Christians around you. And I definitely want to encourage that. And in whatever ways you can maintain the bonds of peace and unity of the Spirit, pursue that. But the reality is that you have been called to Him, not to everybody else. You've been called to Him. And the closer you get to Him, the more you will have peace and joy in your own heart, and the less you will feel alone, because He is greater than anyone when it comes to a personal, intimate relationship. So you will find yourself with fewer relationships, but relationships of greater quality. And I know that many of you who have been listening to me for a long time will recognize what I am saying, and I'm telling you that it is okay, that it is not a concern, it is not a problem, and that even though you may find yourself isolated and alone, you know, there is an important issue that you need to keep in mind when it comes to that, because you will find that you will have an increased desire to be around other Christians. It's not going to be reduced. You're not going to get closer and closer to God to the extent where you're going to be perfectly fine with not being a part of other people's lives. It's going to increase in the sense that you will have a greater desire. You're going to sense this. You're going to sense that you really do want to see a greater assembly of people who know their God, who know the truth that you know. It's going to increase in that sense, and it's important to embrace that and let that be something that motivates you and drives you to continually go out into the world, to include going out into those churches where it seems very few people know the Lord at all, but it is to drive you to go out and reach out to others to share these truths continually with others, looking for those very few people who are ready to make a closer step, another step closer to knowing their God more. Otherwise, what's going to happen if all of us who are very close to God come together? What happens then? I'll tell you exactly what happens. What happens is that we get together and we can form our little assembly, and then we stay with each other and we don't go anywhere. Nobody goes out to spread the good news of the gospel anymore because we just hang out with one another, you know, who are exceptionally mature believers who know the Lord in ways that other people don't. I think it's a good thing if we assemble together now and then, but if there are too many of us and we meet way too often, we're going to neglect what our God wants us to do, which is to go out into the world and tell people about Him. I have seen this happen, and it is a real concern. I believe it is a concern because you must remember the objective of God is to draw more people to Himself, and He uses us to do that. So you have to go to those people who are far from Him. You have to. If you're going to participate in the work of God to draw more people to Himself, you're just going to have to do that. So if you feel like you're the only Christian in your city who knows the Lord, if that's how you feel, and you're feeling angry, and you're feeling alone, if that's how you're feeling, and you just don't want to go out and talk to anybody anymore about the truth, don't let that get in your way. Go out and find new people. Find more people. Get out there and make some new friends doing other kinds of non-Christian kinds of activities. There's lots of things you can get involved in that, of course, are not sin. And you can meet new people, make new friends, and never give up because God never gives up. And remember that your aloneness is legitimate in the sense that you are close to your God and you embrace a lot of truth. But this sense of being alone and isolated is to drive you out in order to continually share the message of God with others that they may be drawn closer to Him. And even though you are running into a lot of people who just don't want to go there, they don't want to hear it, they don't want to believe it, you have to move on. You have to go and find somebody else unless the Lord tells you specifically to stick around with this person and continually try to tell them things that they don't want to hear. If the Lord doesn't give you specific instructions regarding this, then take the initiative and get out of there and go find somebody else. But don't stop searching. Do not stop looking. All right, now I'm going to try to describe this in a different way. I'm going to try to use an illustration, which of course would be much better if I had a whiteboard or a piece of paper or something that I could draw a picture on. But I'm going to give it a try anyway and just hope that this will have some positive effect. I'm going to start with a simple geometric figure, a circle. Just a circle. If you can try to imagine a circle, you know, a pretty big circle that has the perimeter of the circle on the outside, and if you were to look at the inside of your circle, you could consider that maybe God is there in the center of this circle, all right? He is the center of the universe, and of this universe we have the circle and then space beyond the circle. All right. Now, the line that you would draw in order to show the perimeter of this circle, I'm going to call that line the line where a person becomes a believer. All right. If a person is an unbeliever, they are outside of the circle. But if they become a believer, then they cross that line and they are in the circle. but they're close to the line. You know, they cross the line, they believe the gospel, there you go. They are in the circle, they are in Christ, they are saved. They will have a place in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to try to use this illustration. If you consider that this illustration represents the body of Christ, then you probably would notice that there are a lot of people who are out there on the perimeter of the circle. They are out there close to the line, definitely not across the line into the unbeliever's space, but they are within the perimeter of this circle. They are within the believer's space, but there is definitely maybe this really thick band of people who are all on the outside of this perimeter, in the sense that they are on the edge. They are in the circle, but they're on the outside, the outer limits of this circle. And God is by himself in the center of this circle, while all these other people are just up there close to the line. All right? You probably would recognize that that's what it looks like. And that the closer you get to the center of the circle, there are fewer and fewer people closer to God. I think this is a reasonable illustration. I'm hoping that it will be effective. That there are fewer and fewer people closer to God. And so the closer you get to the center, the less dense you have of people, the less density of people within the circle. And so on the perimeter, you may see a dark, very dark shade, as there would be a lot of people who are close to that line, you know, close to that edge, because they just got saved, maybe, or because they've just never really grown in their faith. They just don't know the Lord. Whatever those reasons may be, that would be quite dark and dense. But the closer you get to the circle, it would be quite light and perhaps even transparent, that there would be fewer and fewer speckles of people near the center. So the objective, really, of each individual person who is in the circle is to get closer to the center of the circle. That's the objective. To have unity in the Spirit, to have a bond with your God, you have to get closer to the center, not figure out how to get everyone closer to one another. Because if you were to look at the perimeter, everyone is there for the most part, and they are quite close to one another, a lot of density, close enough to have a lot of bonds. But it's not the same as having the bond that he's referring to here in Ephesians chapter 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit will be found, and the bond of peace will truly be found, the closer people get to their God. And get close, and then they will by default get closer to one another as they get closer to him, closer to the center of the circle. Now, what prevents people from getting closer to the circle is, of course, what they believe. You know, just to believe the gospel gets you across the line, across the perimeter of this circle. But to get closer to God, there needs to be additional truths that get you there. All right. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, you would know that the first barrier that a person has to get through in the faith is the topic of forgiveness. A person really has to believe that the sin issue has come to an end. And it turns out that most Christians, they just don't believe that the sin issue has come to an end. They just keep it alive and keep it going. But if a person will embrace the complete forgiveness of sins, then they can get closer to the center, closer to the center of the circle. Now, if they will believe in the restoration of the Holy Spirit, if they will believe in the restoration of life, as I have described the gospel of not just being the forgiveness of sins, but also the restoration of the Holy Spirit, well, then they will understand that the complete forgiveness of sins is necessary for that kind of salvation, for the Holy Spirit to remain within us permanently, such that there will be no sin that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart. If you believe that, you are never going to go back into the challenges of forgiveness, because you know why. You understand why the sin issue had to come to an end. Then you will never backslide into the topic of are we forgiven, how do we get forgiven, stuff like that, the general struggles of forgiveness. You're past that when you understand the restoration of the Holy Spirit. You get closer to the center of the circle, and you're not going to go back. Then, freedom from the law. That's usually the next step. When a person recognizes that they are free from living a life of repentance and obedience because of the complete forgiveness of sins and the restoration of the Holy Spirit, then they get closer to the center of the circle. And when you are set free from the law, you know what I mean when I say that you just don't tolerate people talking to you about you must repent and obey God. You just don't tolerate that anymore because you know that you have been forgiven, you have been set free from the law, and you have been called to a new way of life entirely. And the next phase is an understanding of the inheritance that you have received in Christ and what it means to live by the inheritance, by what you have been given, instead of living by repentance and obedience, hoping that you're going to be blessed by God in return. Then you get closer to the center of the circle, and when you get there, you just don't go back. You know, you just don't go back. You're not going to backslide into the issues of, are we to live by the law or not? Of course not. You are living by the inheritance in Christ Jesus. What usually happens next is that a person discovers that we have a living God, and what it means to be a living God in comparison with the gods of stone. And most people believe in a God of stone. A God of stone in the sense that he is in control of absolutely everything, such that there is no relational experience with him at all. Or he's out there somewhere in the universe just watching us figure it out by ourselves and has nothing to do with us relationally that way. Those are generally the two options that people argue between. The option of either God is in complete control or he is not in any control whatsoever. But both gods are effectively a God of stone in a practical sense. So when a person embraces the idea of the living God, the relational God, the God who participates in our lives and allows us to participate in his, well, then you're closer to him. You're closer to the center of the circle. And then from there, we can move on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. This isn't going to make a lot of sense until you make it this far, until you make it to the point of the living God. And the reason why is because all these people who are out on the peripheral, who are on the outer edge of the perimeter of this circle, they are all broken up into their own little bodies, and they seem to be functioning on their own little individual spirits of some kind, and they all have their own hopes and their own expectations. There are little groups here and there. There's a denomination here and another church over there. They're all separated. They may very well be saved. They're in the circle, but there is so much variation that the idea of one body and one spirit doesn't seem to make much sense. And that is my introduction to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. I will have to continue with this in the next message.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.